Everybody, Jake and Gino here, and today we're going to talk about the pros and the cons of apartment syndications. G-Father, how you doing?
Stenzi? Doing great, bro. How you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. So, Gino, apartment syndications have been on fire the past 5 years. Tell me why.
That's an understatement, my friend. They're not on fire. They are just, they've exploded since we started. Again, he gave you a couple of reasons, a couple of drivers that have done that. The first one is the 2012 Jobs Act. Yes, Obama did something great during his 8 years. That Jobs Act was amazing for the economy. He actually saw that there was a need. It was easier, made it a lot easier for syndicators and for people trying to raise capital. So the Jobs Act spurred something. Ironically enough, we bought our first deal in 2013. We didn't see those effects yet because the economy was still languishing. We still had rents at $300. How much? $300 for one bedroom.
$350.
Well, the GDP is at 1%, first thing. I think the second thing is, as investors, we need to look at supply and demand. There was not a lot of demand for apartment housing, multifamily, when we started. There just wasn't. Money was flowing into different asset classes. But in the last decade or so, what's happened? It's ultimately become a basic human need.
Floodgates have opened, yeah.
Yeah, food, clothing, and apartments. You look at the demographics, all of a sudden, there are a lot of baby boomers. Every day, 10,000 people are turning 65. They're turning in the keys. They're selling their McMansion. They're downsizing. They're buying RVs and they're renting apartments. Millennials, on the other hand, are not buying homes as quickly as the previous generation. They have a ton of student debt. They have to pay that student debt off and they're getting married later. Who buys homes? House formation starts when you get married, you start having children. If you're getting married later, if you're living in your parents' basement, you're not buying a home. So that's what's going on. You're renting a lot longer. So
lifestyle
for us,
choices. It's
been amazing. It's been an amazing thing. You have a lot of the student debt. Millennials aren't buying homes. Baby boomers are downsizing. So there's the huge demand for the ownership. And I think the third thing is we're talking about is just demand for the asset itself. Money's flowing in there because of the tax benefits. I mean, you have cost segregation, macro accelerated cost recovery system. I mean, Trump really gave that a boom in 2017. Amazing for that. You have cash flow, the ability to actually print money, get money every month. If it don't cash flow, let the grass grow. We talk about that a lot in Jake and Gino community. So it's looked at as a really viable asset. And I know Jake loves this. It's a hedge against inflation. We're seeing rents at that $350 that we bought in 2013. We just rented one out at $995. It's almost tripled since we've owned it. So, you know, people say, oh, these things are overpriced. They're really not. If you look at what's going on, there's less risk today than there was back in 2013. 2013, there weren't any jobs. The economy stunk, 1% GDP. Now you're looking at it, $995 for that same asset. And, you know, we wrote a book. We published a book with Anthony Vecchino and Dan Kruger, Passive Investing Made Simple. Hit me up, gino@jakeandgino.com. I will send you out a PDF copy. This is an amazing book. This talks all about the syndication model. I wish we can go over this in this video, take hours for this video, but hit me up for the book and I'll send you an email copy.
You know me, I like the physical, right? I like an actual building. I like a piece of silver, a piece of gold. Give me some brass and I'm a happy man. Oh. So, okay, Gino, you said basically is this. You had the Jobs Act. You have increased demand in some of these markets for the rentals, and you have increased demand for the ownership, hedge against inflation, and demographic shifts are all leading to that. People see this, and they're running towards the assets. So let's talk about the pros, starting off, of syndication. I think, the obvious one, boom, right in front of your face, it's the money. It's the money for the deal. So many people are like, well, how do I get into real estate? Where am I going to start? You want the easiest way to do it. You're able to raise money via the syndication. I think that's number one, first and foremost. What say you?
There's not much that I can add to that other than most of the Jake and Gino students, when they come in, two objections is, how do I find deals, which we help you to do, and how do I find the money? Well, there's a couple ways. You can do it creative financing. You can go out there and partner. But we're talking about syndication. Syndication, you find the money through LPs, through giving, you know, equity ownership in limited partners. That's an amazing way for you to get into a deal. Jake and I didn't know this when we started. We had no idea what syndication was. We're just two jabronis out there trying to buy a deal by ourselves. And it worked for us. And we were lucky. We were able to scale up and buy it from ourselves. We're going to get into the cons, but that was our model. If we had known syndication sooner, maybe we'd have jumped on that bandwagon sooner. And we learned the model of syndication, and it's an amazing tool in the toolbox. If you don't have the capital and you need to get in, the idea is to get a deal on that conveyor belt. Great way is by using the model of syndication.
Okay. Second one, scale. Bo Berry, had him on the podcast, broker from Florida, basically saying, look, sometimes the play for syndicators is to acquire the most amount of units as possible in order to have that control for the long term, okay? It's the power and control over a large portfolio. Whether that's your philosophy, your investing strategy or not, that's a real thing, okay? And when we've seen a run-up in the real estate market like this, not a bad time to be one of those people, right, Gino?
Yes.
So that's one of the things where if you don't manage the property, you are a syndicator that hires property management companies, you're going out there, you're raising money, and you're amassing a large portfolio. That's one of the strategies, one of the benefits of syndication.
I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. I'm running this scenario through my mind, Jake. So listen to this real quick. You have 100 units, it appreciates 10%. Great. But if you control 1,000 units and the same market appreciates 10%, who's winning? That's why you have to think about it. That's why people, when they get into bigger deals, you're doing a 5-unit or a 15-unit or a 20-unit, just put another zero there. And the market appreciates the same percentage. That's why these syndicators have seen that over the last 3 to 4 years. Man, when the market is rising, the more amount of assets you can control with as little amount of money, guess who's getting rich? That syndicator is getting really rich from, you know, processing that strategy. Now, the downfall is when you have all those thousands of units, what happens when the market goes down? Well, you can go look at our other YouTube videos, long-term fixed rate financing, because the only time you really care about the asset's value is when you buy it and when you sell it. If you're maintaining that asset, that's the only two times you really care. But think about it, that scale gives you the opportunity that when that market is rising and you're forcing the NOI, you're forcing appreciation, you have more control, you have more money there that you'll be able to make on your portfolio.
And what does scale mean? Better insurance rates.
Yes.
Better rates when you're negotiating cost segregation, better rates across the board because of that scale. So whenever you're negotiating your different services, hey, it's 10 units or it's 10,000. Who do you think is getting better pricing? Even your painters, whoever it may be. The third one is the ability to do larger deals. If you're coming in like Jake and Gino and you're partnering up, maybe you can do a 10 unit starting out. Maybe you can do a 25 unit starting out. You come out of the gate syndicating, look, you may have the team behind you where you can go from 0 to 150, 0 to 200 right out of the gates. There's risk in that in itself inherently because you don't know what you don't know and you're going, you know, from zero to hero pretty quick. But if you have a competent property manager, good asset manager behind you, a team of people that have done it before, okay, to shorten that learning curve, you can go from, you know, 0 to 150 on the first deal if you so choose.
And we just mentioned previously that ability to do bigger deals, you control more units, you have that scale. And we're, Jake and Gino, we're creating multifamily entrepreneurs. You want to look at this as an entrepreneurial venture. If you could do bigger deals, you're going to get bigger checks. That's what it really comes down to. If you're doing a $3 million deal with a 3% acquisition fee, you're making 90 grand. If you're doing a $10 million deal with a 3% acquisition fee, you're making 300 grand. So you can see the scale, the amount of scale. And then also with these bigger deals, it's going to be easier for you to hire the painters, the flooring companies, the property management companies. Not only are you going to be saving money on that scale, but you're also going to be able to implement systems and to create a business and to become an entrepreneur a lot quicker.
All right, now for the cons, just so everyone knows, I am one thing and one thing only, and that's an equity hound. I like the equity. I want more equity. Give me some mo, give me some mo, give me some mo. Con of syndication, if you're not bringing much money to the table, there's going to be a lack of equity. Oh, okay, in that deal. I don't personally, that's a big issue for me. If you're starting out, you want to get in the game, I get it. But for me, I want that equity. We've done a couple syndications. My biggest issue is that I did not put enough capital in on the front end of those deals because it kind of relied on the fees and things like that. And it's look, you live, you learn. But for me, gang, long term, when you see these things appreciate and you realize maybe I had an opportunity to put more in on the LP side, it can kind of sting when, you know, the property doubles in value and you're going to sell and saying, geez, I definitely messed up on this one. So that for me is definitely the number one issue when looking into syndication.
And That's a big mistake that we made, Jake. And I would tell everybody, if you're doing a deal, try to invest as much as possible into your own syndication.
If you believe in it, you got to, I mean, put your money where your mouth is, right?
You're doing it, right? So you better believe you in do it because you're not doing it for fees. Because if you're doing it for fees, you're not going to
you're in it for the wrong reasons
in this business. Right. The con is all of a sudden you have bosses and those bosses are called investors and you are their fiduciary and you have lack of equity, you have less control. On our very first deal, Jake and Gino jumping around a 25 unit property, 6 months into it, septic fields go gone. We got sewage all over the place, backing up into those apartments. Jake, how are we going to pay 10 grand, Jake? Well, Gino, you know what? We're not going to take draws for the next 3 or 4 months. We'll pay with the cash flow. Try to do that in a syndication. Try not to pay your investors. We had control. We can make that decision right away. It affected our two families. If you've got 30 investors that you have to talk to, you've got to go to them, explain to them what the situation is. You know, maybe they
investors
will, maybe they
don't
won't.
Don't want you learning on their dime. That's the hard thing, right? So we were able to learn on our own dime and it led to, you know, so much more and it was so worth it. But investors are going to say, look, I want someone that's efficient, that's doing it out of the gates probably. So that's,
And Jake, the thing, the other con is you're really doing everything for the investor's benefit. It's not for your benefit. You may say to yourself, you know what? I can hold this deal an extra 2 years. I can put some more CapEx into it. But if that's not going to get you the best IRR for your investors, that may not be the decision that you need to make. Jake and Gino can hold these deals forever. We're going to talk about the last one, but we have more freedom with our choices. We're only speaking to Jake and Gino, us two, we're the partners. We make the decisions for ourselves. When you have other investors out there, you have to really be worried about how is it going to affect them.
Freedom, equity hound. You're speaking my language, big dog. I'm loving this. Hey, so here's the other thing. Look, syndication is a job in itself.
Number okay? two, yes.
That's right. It's a job in itself. Be prepared for that. You're going to have a CRM. You're going to have these different software programs, okay? You're going to have syndication attorneys. You're going to have to systematize a syndication company to do this. It's not just willy-nilly, I'm going to run out and do it. You're going to have to understand the laws, okay? You're going to go out and raise money. You better be doing it legally, okay? That's the thing we stress so much. Don't be one of these people out there that, well, I didn't know and I'm out there raising money illegally and breaking the law. Do your research. You know, use someone like a Kim Taylor. She's our syndication attorney. Do the right thing because all this work goes into it. Why do it half-assed only to negate your returns or put yourself in a bad situation that's going to harm you and your family? Do it the right way. Make sure that you're doing things by the book and you have to systematize and scale this just like any other business.
So picture this, everybody. Jake and Gino's here. We're doing our own deals. All of a sudden, we announce we're doing a syndication. Game on. We need to have a brand. We need to be able to raise capital. We need to have the website. We need to have possibly writing books, podcasts. We need to have investor relations. We need to be building a business. That's another business aside from our investment business.
Investor software, systems, you know, FAQs, all this. It's real, guys.
You know? And then all of a sudden, we need to start going out and wining, dining investors. We need to be doing webinars for investors. It's a real business. It's an amazing business because it's another, you know, complimentary stream of revenue. Got the honeybee here. Complimentary stream of revenue, right? That's what happened. We had our investment company. Then we had the property management company. Now we have the syndication company, the education company. They all work really, really well. But it is another business. And you better make sure that when you start taking on investors, you need to get back to them right away. You need to have a substantive relationship with them. So that's getting on the phone with them. That's sending out emails. But you're raising capital and you're sourcing deals at the same time. So all of a sudden, this is another layer of the business.
Number three, don't kill the golden goose. All right. Yeah. Syndications lead people to sell more, period. I would argue that any day of the week, because ultimately there's a waterfall, there's a back end, there's a promote, whatever the hell you want to call it. Syndicator is getting paid most of the time when the deal sells. So they're incentivized to get the deal, get the rents up, get the profitability up, and to sell. What I say a minute ago, I'm an equity hound. I love holding these things. I love buying right. I love managing right. I love financing right. And ultimately, when you do those things right, your cash flow is right and you're getting paid monthly. And the more you add to, you know, the more deals you add, that monthly cash flow snowball builds. These things are hard to find. They can change your life forever. So when you syndicate one, you're going to be, you know, pushing to sell it. You're killing the golden goose. And just, you know, ultimately, guess what? It becomes a transaction game at that point. I got to go find the next one. Got to go find the next one after that. That's, for me, not in a huge alignment with my values. That's why we like to look at these things a little differently now when we're looking at syndications, where we can have long-term partners because they understand the value of the 100-year mindset and long-term ownership of these assets.
Jake, we were blessed when we first started out. We had an amazing partner. We had values-based decision-making. We had mentorship. We had coaching. We understood that we could refi and roll. We've refied over $15 million from our portfolio and bought the next deal. If we did not have that ability to do that, we would have syndicated to get a deal on that conveyor belt. And then after 2 or 3 years, sell it, get the capital from that deal, and then possibly go buy our own deals. That's what you can do also. Syndication is a great way to start.
I don't think guys do that though. I feel like they buy one and they keep, they can, right?
Yes,
they can.
Do you know why though? This is very important. Everyone on this call who's listening to this, flesh out what your goals are. What feels right for you? If you like that transaction, you're a transaction junkie, and you're that's nothing wrong with that. Just understand it does not lead to the Sam Freshman long-term wealth. It just doesn't. Because then what happens is you have these deals and you're trying to time them out. And then all of a sudden, at the end of your cycle, you have no deal, but you got a pile of cash. Cash is not going to do any good.
And the deals are
market way
more expensive now with that cash. And it's like, and now exactly. Your cash is eroding due to inflation. You're saying, well, what happened to me?
Mm-hmm. So just understand that syndication, I mean, in this part of the cycle, we're underwriting deals for longer hold periods. Now the average hold period for syndication went from 2 to 3 to 3 to 5 to probably 5 years plus right now. So you're going to have to hold a deal because you're buying deals on bridge debt. Stabilize deals. You're really gonna have to force that NOI, and it's gonna be a longer runway. It's gonna take you a lot longer to get that NOI up. So just be aware, if you're okay with selling every 3 to 5 years, then this model works perfectly for you. But if you're looking to hold like Jake and Gino, maybe the refi and roll works better for you. It's just the idea of you setting your goals and worrying about what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish with multifamily real estate.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a deal junkie, but I'm also a long-term junkie. I'm not a transaction junkie. Okay. That's the difference.
Yes.
Gino, how can I get the book?
I'm going to hold it up once again. Passive Investing Made Simple. Just email me, Gino@jakeandgino.com. I mean, the book is, it's 300 pages long. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. It talks about the model and it talks about it from the passive investor's lens. But also, if you're an active syndicator, you need to know how to satisfy your passive investors. So it can work for both the passive investor, the LP, and the GP. So just email me once again, Gino@jakeandgino.com, and I will send you a PDF copy. Stenzi, love the video, bro.
Gino out. Thanks for the wisdom, sir. See you again.
Thanks, everybody.